Music gives me hope.
To me, hope is believing anything is possible.
To me, hope is having the faith to know that regardless of whatever is going on in your world, it's all gonna be okay in the end.
Good morning again. We are continuing our sermon series, Heroes of Hope, and today our theme is Hope Guides. However, before we get started, I must recognize the enormous pressure I have today, as Pastor Rob has provided football stories at the beginning of each message of this series, and the Colts are now 3-0. They haven't been 3-0 since 2009. So while I don't ascribe to superstitions, I figured let's keep it up and see. So a few weeks ago, I was watching an NFL game, and the commentators was giving a backstory of this player, Brandon Aubrey, who was about to have the play of his life. The commentators proceeded to share that a few years before, the kicker was living his life as a software engineer and was watching an NFL game on a Sunday. As Brandon and his wife were watching the game, the place kicker of that particular team missed a field goal, and Brandon's wife looked at him and said, "You could do that." Not sure if she was talking about missing the field goal or actually becoming an NFL kicker. It was from her statement, as the commentators described, that Brandon was inspired. He hired a kicking coach, and he was signed in 2023 in the NFL. And a few weeks ago on that Sunday, Brandon Aubrey was on the football field kicking the game-winning goal to give the Dallas Cowboys their first and perhaps their only win of the season. There are two points to this story. Words of hope from another can guide us into things we could never have imagined. And if this football story doesn't work, then we blame Pastor Rob. While he wrote it in Friday's Rev, he is not here to continue what he started. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this day. Melt us, fill us, use us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our God, who is our rock and our redeemer. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The author, Elie Wiesel, is quoted to say, "Just as despair can come to one only Just as despair can come to one only from other human beings, hope too can be given to one only by other human beings." Isn't this so true? We as humanity have a great way of being hope for another that guides us into possibilities and paths that we would have never imagined. Just think about your life right now. Where you have come from, where you have been, had it not been for that conversation or that connection or that prompting for you to do something. Today, I think about that and my own vocational journey. It was the fourth Sunday of September in 2001 that I stood before the congregation of Jubilee United Methodist Church to publicly acknowledge my call to ministry. But getting there was not of my own. You see, a few weeks before, I had sensed a strong nudging of God's Spirit about ministry, but I ignored it because I was in a good corporate accounting job, making a great paycheck, climbing the corporate ladder with success, and I had always said, "Preachers don't make any money." However, a few days after that nudging, my pastor at the time, Reverend Dr. Lucretia Faison, called me out of the blue. This was a time, and I'm dating myself perhaps, this was a time where there were landlines and caller IDs. I looked and I wondered, why is this pastor calling me? Because I was not involved in church and I stayed away from preachers. She said, during her time of prayer, she sensed God was calling me to ministry. I immediately hung up. Because how did she know this internal wrestling? Because I told no one. And again, I was not an active church member. So after a few minutes of some tears, I did call her back and proceeded to share what God had already seeded within me. She offered to pray and invited me to go before the congregation in a few short weeks. When I tell you, that was the longest and darkest 2 weeks of my life, because I couldn't deny God's calling, but I could not reconcile how I would be received because, one, I had never been married. I had my son when I was 19. I did not have the gift of public speaking, and I really didn't like people. Well, remember, I was trained as an accountant. Now it's different. I love all people. Nevertheless, I cried, I prayed, and pleaded with God, and ultimately surrendered. And there I was, September 30th, 2001, in front of the congregation of Jubilee United Methodist Church, publicly responding to God's call and committing myself to avail to the process of ordination of the United Methodist Church. It was the guiding of God's Spirit for which I sensed God's call. It was the seeding of hope from Dr. Faison to physically call me. And 24 years later, I stand before you today. Today's scripture from Acts 8 is all about that kind of guidance. We find a story of two people who met on a wilderness road, each becoming a guide of hope for the other. You see, we have Philip, one of the early disciples, who had already been preaching with great success in Samaria, a surprising mission field for the early church. The Spirit has been moving in unexpected places and among unexpected people. And then in verse 26, as we heard read, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Luke adds a curious detail. This is a wilderness road. A wilderness road. That place where it looks dry, it looks empty, it looks like nothing good can happen. Wilderness roads in scriptures are where God often does God's surprising work. If we think of Israel meeting God in the wilderness, or Elijah heard the still small voice in the wilderness, or John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness, and now Philip is about to meet someone who needs hope on a wilderness road. A wilderness road is not a place of certainty, but encounter. And on this road, Philip meets the Ethiopian eunuch. Who is this Ethiopian eunuch? While this person does not have a published name, they do have an identity. The Ethiopian in the first century didn't mean modern-day Ethiopia exactly as we understand it today, but it referred to the region south of Egypt, the Nubian kingdom. For the Greco-Roman world, Ethiopia symbolized the edge of the known world. To Luke's reader, this man, this Ethiopian, represents the furthest reach of the gospel. And then to be a eunuch, someone who was castrated for the sake of royal service, eunuchs often rose to high administrative roles because they were considered trustworthy in royal courts. This man is a treasurer for the Queen Candace, a person of influence, of wealth, and of status. And yet, according to Jewish law from Deuteronomy 23 and 1, eunuchs were excluded from full participation in the temple. Imagine the tension. He has traveled hundreds of miles to Jerusalem to worship, but then when he arrives, he cannot enter fully. He is both powerful and excluded. And here we read in this Acts text, this Ethiopian eunuch, after coming from Jerusalem, is sitting in his chariot on this wilderness road, reading Isaiah 53, the suffering servant passage. It reads, "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. In his humiliation, justice was denied him." Isn't that interesting? A person who has been told, "You don't belong, you're not whole enough, you can't come close, but not, you can come close, but not too close." A man who's been denied justice finds hope in the one who bears all injustices. As he was reading aloud this prophet Isaiah in his chariot on this wilderness road, Philip runs up to the chariot and asks the Ethiopian eunuch, as we see from verses 30 through 31, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And Philip got in and sat beside him. That question is the heart of today's message. How can I unless someone guides me? This is a pivot point because Philip becomes that guide for the Ethiopian eunuch. Beginning to share about Isaiah, he tells the good news about Jesus. And then the Ethiopian eunuch says, "Look, there's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" That question carries centuries of exclusion behind it. The Ethiopian eunuch is asking, "What is to prevent me as a eunuch? What is to prevent me as a foreigner? As someone who is deemed outside of the religious laws, what is to prevent me when I have been told I am not whole? What is to prevent me when I have been excluded by religion? What is to prevent me when society says I don't belong?" And the answer then, as it is today, nothing. Nothing prevents the eunuch. Nothing prevents us from being welcomed into God's family with no questions. You see, because baptism in our United Methodist tradition is one of our two sacraments, the other being Holy Communion. Baptism is a means of grace. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. It is in our sacrament of holy baptism that we say we are initiated into Christ's holy church, incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and the Spirit. Even in the introduction of our baptismal covenant, it says, "All of this is God's gift offered to us without price." Friends, God's love cannot be bought and or sold, but freely shared and extended. So this outsider, one by law who was not included, was welcomed to the family of God. I love this passage of Acts 8 because it ends with the baptism in the wilderness, Philip being whisked away, and the eunuch going on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing because he was seen. Rejoicing because he was given an opportunity of new life. And rejoicing because he was able to share the message of hope with others. It is said, never deprive someone of hope. It might be all that they have. I wonder if we could take that to heart in our current climate where there are debates about who's real Christian and who is not, who is in and who is not. If we are to be harbingers of hope and live out the message of hope, we must emulate that we serve a God who created us, who calls us by name. So no matter the wilderness road we may find ourselves on, we will be able to find the hope dealers to know that we belong and there is service for us in God's kingdom. In Acts 8, 26 through 40, I invite you to read it in your leisure. We see hope guides at every turn. God is the first guide. It begins with God. An angel sends Philip to the road. The Spirit nudges Philip towards the chariot. Hope begins when God directs us even into places we wouldn't choose for ourselves. Philip is a guide. Philip doesn't come with a sermon prepared. He just listens. He asks questions. He climbs into the chariot. He sits alongside the unit, and together they open the scriptures. Philip doesn't impose, he accompanies. And that's what hope guides do. They accompany. And the Ethiopian eunuch is a guide. And we can't miss this. The Ethiopian eunuch guides us into seeing that the gospel is for all people. The eunuch refused to let boundaries define who belongs. When the eunuch sees the water, he says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" The answer is nothing. The eunuch's faith becomes a guidepost of hope for the church that follows. So then how do we see hope guides for us today? I would offer that there are personal guides. Maybe there was the Sunday school teacher who patiently listened to your questions. Or maybe there was a parent, a grandparent, or a caregiver who prayed with you. Or a friend who sat with you in a hard season. They may not have had all the answers, but they walked alongside you. They accompanied you as a means of hope. Or maybe there is community guides, because as we see in times of tragedy, people step up as hope guides. After natural disasters, volunteers show up with food and shelter. After acts of violence, communities gather for vigils, refusing to let hate have the last word. Or perhaps there are silent guides. Sometimes guidance comes through scripture, through prayer, through a song, through something as simple as seeing someone else's courage and realizing, if they can do it, maybe God is calling me to do that too. So I would offer this question about not necessarily who has guided you, but the question today is, who might God be calling you to guide? Yes, God still sends hope guides. God sent Moses to guide the people out of Egypt. God sent Deborah to guide Israel into battle. God sent Esther to guide her people for such a time as this. And God sent Jesus, our ultimate guide, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Or when we are thinking about that question about who might be God guiding us to guide, maybe we take advice from Mr. Rogers, who says, "Look for the helpers." In crisis, helpers offer us guides of hope. Or for the courage, from the courage of Harriet Tubman, guiding people to freedom, not knowing the certainty of their safety, but with faith that freedom was possible. Or maybe, just maybe, there has been someone in your life who has mentored you, who has welcomed you, who has stood beside you when you found that hope was hard. Or just maybe there has been one who has whispered in your ear asking you, "Have you considered the call to ministry?" And you're saying, "Heck no," but maybe God is saying, "Perhaps so." And now, friends, no matter how God may be leading, please know God is leading in some way. God is leading all of us into the world to be a source of hope. But here are some points I would like for you to consider. Are we willing to go? Philip went into the wilderness road because God nudged him. Sometimes hope guides us. Hope guides are simply ones who are willing to show up when others won't. Or another, are you willing to listen? Hope guides don't have to know everything. They just have to listen, to sit alongside someone in their chariot, to say, "I may not have all the answers, but I'm here for you." And are you willing to include? The Ethiopian eunuch's baptism breaks barriers. A hope guide always widens the circle of belonging. It never narrows it. Are you willing to know with assurance that nothing in our past, nothing in our present, nothing in our identity, nothing in our mistakes, nothing in our pain, nothing in this whole wide world will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and we get to go and share that message with others? So, friends, God is still guiding. The Spirit is still nudging. And you and I are called to be hope guides. And when we believe that, when we live that, we become a hero of hope. And we help someone else go on their way rejoicing because they have come to see and experience the incarnate Christ. So this week, ask yourself, who has been a guide of hope in your life? And who is God calling you to guide today? Because I, as a living witness, had it not been for the nudging of God's Spirit, the obedience of Pastor Faison, even despite me hanging up on her, and others who have been my hope guides along this path, I would not be in front of you today. So may we be like Philip, go where God sends us. May we be like the Ethiopian eunuch, embrace hope boldly. And may the world see through us that God loves and welcomes all. Let us pray. Holy, gracious, and loving God, we thank you for the ways in which your hope guides. We thank you for your Spirit's work within us, even when we try to run away or wrestle with. God, you still speak. And for the ways in which those hope guides speak and seed hope within us, may we carry that forward in the world who so desperately needs it. For each and every one hearing this message today, you have service in your kingdom for all of us. So Lord, may we be willing to go. May we be open to listen. And may we continue to bear light of your love for all. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.